Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We are continuing our conversation with Tom and Amber Lyons. And Sharon, they have five precious children, but they have one that went to be with Jesus after only about 3 months here on earth, and just sharing about the phone call they got that their son had stopped breathing, and then being at the hospital, and just the tremendous effort by all the first responders. And they were praying for a miracle, but like a lot of us, just the prayer did not get answered quite the way that they would like. And unfortunately, Jonathan took his last breath here on earth. And so share with us, Tom, obviously, you know that Jonathan's not alive anymore. What was your reaction, man, when they finally had to tell you, we're sorry, we can't do anything else?
It was actually turned to those in the room and to thank them for serving us. And so Jesus showed up in a way in and through Amber and myself that was quite unexpected. And what I mean by that is it was almost, I don't want to say it was an out-of-body experience because it wasn't, but I was aware that I was responding in a way that I would not normally respond. Mm-hmm. And I was conscious of that. And despite the fact that, like, I mean, the Holy Spirit was clearly there and tangible and in the room, and God wanted to make sure we knew that he was there with us.
What about for you, Amber, when you finally realized, you know, Jonathan's not with us anymore on this earth, at mm-hmm. least?
Internally, that first moment as a mom that you're processing it, and you just, you know, and they gave us a lot of space and time mm-hmm. To have to you know, work through that. But, you know, we also got to a point in time where we said just dwelling here and staying mm-hmm. isn't going to change anything. Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, God, I liked how Tom articulated it, you know, God really showed up, and he, through people that he put around us, and also I think in just kind of the way we walked through it, it wasn't maybe our normal or natural go-tos. I thought I'd been more hysterical, all those other things, right. But he really covered the whole situation with his love and his grace in that moment, in a way that's just a way only he can do. That's in that case miraculous, because it was just devastating.
And so when we left the hospital, we very really had another challenge in front of us. And that was that both of our children, the twins, were still at Cindy's house, at the nanny's house.
Where Jonathan had taken his last breath.
Yeah, where Jonathan had stopped breathing. And so we needed, and likely they didn't know what had happened. Yeah. They didn't, he went away, but they didn't know what, that he had actually passed. And so we recognized that we were going to have to both convey that, and then also and parent our children through this, mm-hmm. In this loss. Both of them were three at the time. We talked very intentionally in that 15-minute car ride over to Cindy's house about what about how. How we were going to respond mm-hmm. and what this was going to look like. Yeah. Little did we know, I only found out from my pastor later, that Cindy, after they had come and picked up Jonathan, Cindy had called her pastor to come over, and he was there. And I guess he had prepared Cindy for the worst. He had communicated to her that likely that the parents were going to come in aggrieved, that we were going to come in angry, that we would likely be spitting venom and making accusations. And so he had communicated to her that they would need to make space for us to grieve through that, and just to receive that, and not to kind of not fight us and not. And so that was the tension. That was the experience in the room prior. That was the preparation for those that were in the room prior to us arriving. And I think when we arrived, it quite took them back. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
I mean, you had mentioned in the car ride, we had about 15 minutes. And in that time, we very specifically talked about, like, how are we going to enter this house? How we respond in this situation matters. Mm-hmm. It matters to our three-year-old children. It matters to the nanny. It matters in how we handle this. And we, you know, and yet I still want to give credit to God because it wasn't by our own strength at that moment or our own wisdom. And we said, you know, of all things, you know, not only has our life been turned upside down at this moment, but it's also the worst fear of someone that you've given
trusted your child to.
And so her world is as devastated as our world. And God would respond to all of us with love. And so that's when we entered the room. It was processing grief, but starting with love.
Wow.
And so I remember the door opened and you could just see on her face the devastation. And it was like, that's exactly how I felt. And so there were just, you know, we started with a hug and we started with tears and with the acceptance that it's hard and it hurts. And that's kind of where things, you know, and then the kids came over and we started hugging on them and, you know, trying to process with them an understanding of what death looks like to a three-year-old. It can be a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
And that their baby brother's not coming home.
And that they're not really going to get to see him again.
Yeah.
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 So. Wow. Our pastor would later describe, so when her pastor was in the room and he related the experience, he said that it's something that is going, that response of kind of Jesus moving through us and responding to her with grace and love is something that would stick with him for the rest of his life.
And I can validate that. I know the guy that was in this room. That's one of the reasons I wanted to have you all on. He's a really close friend of mine. And I forgot to even tell you that before we started. We were preparing today. But yeah, he told me. Yeah, he said that was one of the most God-honoring moments if I've ever seen God show up, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. You knew it had to be because the incredible amount of pain that you all were in and yet the love and grace that you all extended. And somebody that's listening right now, you're just thinking, how did they do that? Well, I hope that you've heard they said they didn't do it. It was Jesus that did it through them, the Holy Spirit, God. And I want to encourage you, for some of you, you bought into the, and I hate to say it's a lie, but it is that, you know, I can't forgive or I can't love because of the pain and hurt. And there's still tears in Tom and Amber's eyes. There's tears in my eyes right now, okay? So it doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. But a lot of us, and you know I'm a man, I'm the Myers-Briggs, I'm right in the middle on the thinker-feeler part, so that's why I'm in ministry, because I do feel, you know what, you can't let your emotions just dictate everything you do. And in one of the most painful moments of their life, they sought God in a 15-minute car ride, and by asking God what you should do, he showed up, didn't he?
He did. He did. Our pastor, Kevin, calls it disturbing grace of what that experience was, because it was disturbing. And even for us in the middle of that and seeing God move through us and the love that we experienced, even in the midst of the heartache and the pain.
Well, so powerful, so powerful. All right, so obviously you have an unplanned funeral. You do that. You get through that. And that's, you know, got to be brutal. But talk to us about how you started to just try to process and pick up the pieces after this just really, really gut-wrenching, heartbreaking situation.
Well, I mean, I do want to – so the next day we went to church. We wake up the next morning, and this is on a Friday. We wake up the next morning, and I didn't want to get out of bed. It was like the whole world had fallen apart. Even in the midst of this God showing up, the reality of it was still soul-crushing. And it was a rough day of just not wanting, just being numb to everything. So we were, our church had a Saturday night service at the time. We went to that Saturday night service. And I remember Kevin stopped us in the hallway, and it was us and our extended family. And so my parents and her parents, all of us kind of proceeding down the hallway, and Kevin stopped us and just looked at us and said, "What are you doing here?" And then Amber turned to him and responded,
"Where else would we be? It's Saturday night. It's our church service. And we need God more than ever right now. We need our church community. Like, we don't know what we're doing. We don't know how to take the next steps." but we know how to be here. And I remember looking at Kevin and saying, like, I don't understand it. And I can tell you 5 years later, I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. And I told him this, but I know God is good.
Amen.
And that is the thing that when I stop and look at like 5 years of time that's passed, and I don't know how many more are going to, like, who is God's character? And that's unchanging. Mm-hmm. And that's where I go, he's big enough to handle my doubt and to help me rebuild that trust. And his character is still the same. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of life. And ours isn't the only tragic story that happens where unfair things happen and we live in a broken world. And there's a lot of things that just aren't going to make sense and that people try to give answers to and they sound really thin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it just kind of comes back to the, okay, who do I know God to be and what can I trust from him? And so just letting him kind of step into those moments when I'm weak. And that's tough for me, who likes to be in control. But I remember looking at Pastor Kevin and just being like, I don't understand it. I still know God is good. He is faithful and he is good. I don't know how we're going to get through the next step. I don't know how we're going to get through the next day. Sometimes I don't even know how I'm going to get the next breath. Mm. But he'll be there in those moments.
Well, I think I just spoke volumes with Tom and Amber have shared so far. And you know, some of you, I mean, they went to the church even in their most deepest, darkest hurt, and you would think, why not? At the same time, you know, can't blame Pastor Kevin for thinking, hey, you know, you just lost one of your precious children after only 3 months on this earth. What are you doing here yet? I love that instead of turning away from God, you guys turn towards God. And yet for some of you listening today, you're thinking, you know, man, I didn't have that reaction. I was angry at God over a loss, just a real painful situation happened, whether it's the loss of a precious child or a spouse that says, I don't love you anymore, or being fired from a job, or the family inheritance, you didn't get your fair part, and you've got angry at God because of whatever situation it is, just didn't turn out right. And yet, I just want to encourage you, for some of you, man, it's time you go back and went to worship somewhere this weekend. And, you know, that it needs to be a safe place for you. And, you know, people always say, well, I don't go to church, Greg, because there's hypocrites. And I say, well, you know, I got good news for you. We got room for one more. Because we all are, you know.
Amen.
We all are. And yet, I love that Tom and Amber showed up the next day after the most devastating loss a parent can have of their precious 3-month-old son. And that's where they wanted to heal, and they needed their church family. So I really do believe that that is a message from somebody today, that maybe you haven't been to church in 20 years or 3 years or a year, and you need to go back as we enter this holiday season of Thanksgiving and Christmas. And you know, I can tell you, when I went through my divorce and it was unexpected, I just went and I wept through the services, through the songs, as I tried to sing Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord, and tears flowed down my face. But you know what? It was a good cry, and I was in a safe place. And that's what the church wants to be for you, and that's what it was for Tom and Amber. So obviously, gosh, I mean, I don't want to get you started because anything I ask would be so powerful and we're running out of time. But, hey, I know that all of us know somebody that's just had a devastating loss, and maybe it's been a precious child like Tom and Amber. Please talk to them about this program. Maybe you caught it in the middle and said, man, I want to hear the first part. This is day two of our conversation with Tom and Amber Lyons as they share about losing their precious child, Jonathan, at the age of 3 months old. And it's been 5 years ago, but still tears in their eyes. I've got tears in my eyes. It's just been an emotional time. But to quote Amber, she said, God is still good. So share with what we're doing. You can go listen to the two previous programs at hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.